tryna get out my head. Plug in the mic and leave nothing unsaid. Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
Spoken words.
Episode 181. You have the ability and skills to manifest wealth and abundance in your life. Episode
8. Abundance hook. And no one ain't no one.
That sounded like a repeat.
What?
Abundance hook. Abundance gada hook in the wahine.
Remember, was it last episode or the previous episode when we were talking about like these numbers seem to be repeating themselves, like the meanings?
Yeah.
Abundance hook in the wahine.
Just sounded like that one was almost word for word some other time, but. Hey, abundance.
I'm just getting good at it.
Hey, unspoken words. We're in the house.
Going to a powwow.
We went to a powwow. Yeah. Hey, good job on the powwow, man.
Had
that was really
a good time. Oh.
So did a lot of that fall on your shoulders?
Yeah, a lot of responsibility went into.
When I walked in, because I didn't make it to like the very end, like the last hour and a half or whatever. But it was good, man. Everything was like boom, boom, boom. You guys got done like right at 10.
Yeah.
Power was over.
Oh, the, yeah, on Saturday? Like,
hell yeah. That was good. That was good.
No, it was good. Man, we got a good team up there. We have a really good team. We're small, but we're mighty.
You know what I mean? Like the Wyola Wildcats?
Yeah, we're few. Small, but few. We're few, but we're mighty. No, we have a solid team, man. Like, no, we got our director, myself, and our Vista, and we make a great team.
No, that was really good.
Yeah.
I was, because I thought, all right, they're probably going to go till about 11. And then so I was like, all right, I got time to come and sing some songs. I got there, and it was almost over. I was like, all right, that's cool, man.
Yeah, no, the Friday night was pretty good. It was pretty good. We went a lot over our time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Saturday, we had the goal to get out of there early and,
yeah, I know how that Saturday is. They're like real strict on it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Because last year I was the arena director. I think I had us out of there like right at 11, like lights, we were walking out the door.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, we were done right there.
Right on. No, that was good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, all right, cool, man. I got to visit, sang one song with another group, and then just grabbed that youth drum group and headed out.
Yeah, no, it was good to see you there, man. It was good to see you, JC. Ran into JC a little bit earlier and then you later, you know. And it was good to see everybody.
That was good powwow. It's a good gathering.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I didn't even realize until like, that's a huge event for like our native community here in town and surrounding area.
Yeah, over 3,000 people come. Wow. And then on Saturday alone, we had 390 registered dancers.
Oh, nice. That's pretty good. That's good.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Uh-huh.
All you dancers.
So all you aunties that came out and dance. All right, I got some questions for you guys. Feel free to answer. In no particular order, but I mean, if you have a thought on it, please just answer it. Can you be a closet claustrophobic?
Yeah.
I would say so.
Think so? Like, you don't tell anybody?
Yeah. I bet you most people are.
Yeah, probably.
Like unless they're really, like, really, really, really bad.
Oh, yeah, true. No, I think I am. I have, to a certain extent, I'm claustrophobic.
Well, so
you guys don't like being squeezed?
No, no, then get squeezed too hard, I freak out.
You're walking around in the powwow and too many aunties start walking right next to you, getting a little claustrophobic.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't think I am. But if you're in a smaller space for some time, then that freaking sucks. I think, like, I have those when I'm having anxiety attacks.
Oh, yeah. I think that, I mean, that's what it does. Like, your phobia raises your anxiety until, like, you freak out.
Yeah. Well, I think for me.
Or have an anxiety attack, basically. Yeah.
For me, if I can control the environment, then I feel really, really comfortable, right? Like, almost secure.
Yeah.
But if I'm not in control of the environment, then that's when I'll start, like, say you get locked in an elevator.
Yeah.
And I couldn't control that. That, man, I'd start tripping out.
Yeah, you start banging and kicking stuff to get it out. Yeah.
But, like, if I was in my room and, you know, it's not that big, like, I'd feel secure, right? Like, I want to be here. But if I wanted to get up and open the door, then, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to that, like, control piece, yeah. So I remember, like, playing hide and seek. Like, I would go hide underneath beds and it was all tight. Squeeze underneath there, and you're laying in the dark. And someone comes in, turns on the light, and you can see them walking around. Like, that was fun.
Yeah.
But, like, if I was, like, in a, like, driving under a bridge, it collapsed, and I was stuck in my car.
Yeah.
I would freak the F out, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
So maybe is that even claustrophobia, or is that just, like I think fear that's response? Like
anxiety.
Yeah.
Fear response?
Yeah.
Claustrophobia is kind of like fear of small spaces, right? Fear of, like, when you're... But claustrophobia would probably lead to an attack, like you were saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, I mean, in my own thinking, like, all these phobias, like, lead you to, like, an anxiety attack where you freak out.
Yeah.
But see, like, a lot of them are not, how would you say it? They're not really based in reality, right?
The fears and phobias?
Yeah. I mean, like, they're okay, they are, right? People have phobias about snakes, and you should be afraid of some snakes, right?
Yeah.
But, like, to, like, really, really, really freak out and in a not so, like, in a space that we wouldn't seem that would be confined, like this room.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the opposite of that is what, agoraphobia? They're afraid of open spaces.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, like, maybe this room would be too big. But it's kind of like, you know, like, it's amplified in your mind.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right on.
Yeah.
Moving right along. If nothing sticks to Teflon, how do they make it? How do they make Teflon stick to a pan?
Sticky side out.
Sticky side in.
Or in.
I don't know, that's kind of weird to me, huh?
They bake it on.
Is it an innie or an outie?
What color do they put on the driver's license of bald men?
What?
What color? What hair color do they put on the driver's license of bald men?
Your eyebrows.
Your eyebrows. Is that a color? Eyebrows.
Black.
What color is your hair? Eyebrows.
I mean... No, the color of their eyebrows.
Eyebrows.
What color is your hair? Eyebrows.
Bullshit. If Barbie is so popular, why do they have you buy her friends?
Because she's a lonely... No, I'm just kidding.
Because she wouldn't be popular if she didn't have friends.
She's a popular loner.
Yeah, I don't know.
She wouldn't be popular if you wouldn't be popular if you didn't have friends. So you have to get friends. And the more friends you have, the more popular she is. And that's how they get you. That's why I don't vote.
Yeah.
How come there are no B batteries?
Huh.
There isn't.
That's A, weird. C, and D, huh?
Yeah.
Because the double A takes place of the B.
Probably triple A. Why do black olives come in cans and green olives in jars?
Because green olives will spoil in a can.
Will they?
Sounds good.
How are they the same thing but different colors?
It's like
it's like apples.
It's like grapes and raisins. Same thing. It's just like a later pickled? Stage of the process.
One's pickled.
Yeah, grapes and raisins, right?
No, like
pickles and cucumbers.
Yeah, like virgin olive oil comes from like green olives, and the other olive oil just comes from whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh.
What about the little red belly button thing?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I mean, neither.
On a green olive?
On like a martini, huh? Yeah.
Before they invented drawing boards, what did they go back to? You know, back to the drawing board.
The broadside of a barn.
I don't know. To the cave wall.
I guess it's back to your auntie. I don't know what that means. If love is blind, why is lingerie so popular?
Huh.
No idea?
Uh-uh. Oh, I could tell you several ideas.
I think that's a lust, not love.
Yeah, lust got his eyes wide open then.
Lustful eyes. These eyes. So this is my own personal question. Like, I seen this thing. This guy was talking about it. It was unreal. Said like, okay, so they, like, you know, scientists, mainstream society, the government says they got all this scientific stuff figured out, blah, blah, blah. Said, okay, well, if that's true, I mean, they got all this stuff figured out. How come they don't make water?
You know the ingredients.
We know the ingredients, but there's nobody producing water.
Can't make water.
Can't make water.
Rainwater. Don't they get fined in, like, California and Vegas, like, if you collect rainwater?
Something like that. I think, yeah. Something
really?
Like, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, bro. And it's drinkable.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't know about there. It might be polluted.
Acid rain.
Well, probably, but, like, I think, well, I don't know. I don't want to say nothing, but... Yeah, I think it is, like, it is drinkable. But they don't let you collect rainwater.
That's nuts, huh?
Because there'd be no way to tax it.
True. True.
And you think about it, like, bro, like, yeah, I don't know.
They're taxing the rain next.
Yeah, like, we get taxed for everything. You get taxed for your paycheck. You get, on top of that, you pay gas tax, housing tax.
Man, at least we don't have a sales tax, man. That sucks. Like, does these other states, they get all those taxes you just now mentioned and a sales tax. I'm like, damn. Yeah.
But they just snuck in another property tax, didn't they?
Probably.
Freaking, yeah, a bill on your freaking, on your Northwestern. And it's kind of crazy that Northwestern doesn't have any competitors here in Montana.
None at all.
They say they're regulated, but dog, the people that are regulating it are probably...
They're in bed
investors,
together.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They probably... They're
in that's bed why together. We all need to get solar panels. They'll
but they even got that, too. Northwestern comes through solar panels, don't they?
Oh, do they set it up and they charge you for using solar panels?
No, they can't charge you for using solar panels.
Oh, okay.
I think you still pay them.
No, you don't have to pay them. If you can get a surplus of energy and you can sell it back to them.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
But they make it, I think the way they have it is that it's so expensive at first that it's kind of prohibitive to your average everyday Joe.
Oh.
See, one of my friends in Arizona sells solar panels.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could probably set it up yourself. I mean, how hard could it be?
Probably not that hard.
Probably not even hard.
But you can sell it back to the grid.
Yeah. I mean, the dad from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids had solar panels on his car.
Yeah. Solar-powered car.
Kind of crazy, like, how society's set up. Like, banks don't got no money. They rely on your money.
Yeah, I know. I was just watching the thing that said, like, if all the Americans in the United States, like, didn't go to work on a Monday...
Yeah.
Like, we didn't go to work. Like, we could collapse the whole system. Like, everybody just didn't go to work. Like, everybody just stayed home. Didn't go to work. Nobody drove. Nobody got gas. Nobody bought anything.
Didn't even turn on your lights.
Well, not, I don't know about that, but these were things he was talking about. You didn't go to work. You didn't drive. You didn't get gas. You didn't buy anything. And he said something else. There's just like five or six things. Like if everybody in the United States did that, like one day, my way would collapse the whole thing.
Live in the house of cards.
Yeah. That's crazy. And then like I've been seeing things about how like we're born on this, into this realm and on this earth, Mother Earth, but we got to pay to be here.
Yeah.
Like we got to pay to be here. Like how brainwashed are we that we buy into that and like pay to be here? That's so nuts.
Isn't it crazy? Because I just saw the United States are in a record. I think it was, man, what is the numbers, the exact numbers, but so many trillion, bro. The numbers were just released the other day. Like we like 133 trillion or something like that. Congress just signed or something.
Mm.
Just this week.
Like in debt?
In debt.
Mm.
But they're the ones that tell us how good our credit is and how good we are to.
Yeah, see, that's always crazy to me. Like, who are we in debt to?
China.
It is China?
Yep.
Like, all these countries, bro, like, even, like, after the collapse of, like, World War II, right? Like, after the Great Depression, like, we didn't even have any money, and we started sending money to all these people, bro. And it's part of, like, balancing the world system. Yeah. And it's like, man, America is really, like, this nosy auntie that is in everybody's business.
Yeah, I believe that.
You know what I mean? Like, we've been, like, bro, do you know, like, we've never had... Since, like, the 18, 1700s, we've never had a time of peace. We've always been involved in some type of conflict.
Mm.
America.
Yeah, because there's, where there's conflict, there's money to be made.
And we became a superpower after World War II.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. World War I, World War II, so freaking 100 years ago. But we've always been involved in some type of conflict.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I believe that it's happening, definitely. But the part, I mean, back to my whole water thing. Go ahead. Like, no, I mean, like, that's crazy to me. Like, okay, like, they teach us all this stuff. They got textbooks and they teach us all this stuff. Like, they got it figured out. Like, oh, we've been to the moon, blah, blah, blah. We got these satellites up here and, oh, we're so great and blah, blah, blah. But we can't even make water.
Yeah.
They probably can. They just don't.
That's what they want you to believe. That's that bullshit right there, man. So, like, they act like they got it all figured out, but they can't make water.
Yeah.
So it lets me know that, okay, they don't really know shit.
I don't think anybody really knows anything. We just kind of...
We just pick up information as we go.
Yeah, no, for real. Because if you think about it, like, none of us been here before.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, we're just going off of a society that's the dominant one right now.
Oh, yeah.
And even them, they don't know. They just were able to make it to the upper echelon, I guess, the people that do make these decisions.
True.
But they don't know.
Yeah, I just want to, like, go to, like, a... Whatever, whenever there's like a press conference from people, you know, that are whatever up in the upper echelons, like make some water then.
Like scientist?
Yeah.
Make some dirt.
It's crazy because it's like.
Make some dirt.
We're a materialistic society. Like we're based off of individualism.
Mm-hmm.
And we fight against anybody or any country that is against that type of ideology.
And, like, we destroy them.
Yeah.
Like and then we put it out on our media that, oh, they were bad people and they're doing this to their people. And then we soak it up like, oh, good job. Yeah, good job, America.
Yeah, like we're the moral police of the world, bro. Like when our morals are jacked up, like the way this country was founded.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And we still do that today.
Yep. You know what I was just kind of realizing recently? I was like, I know I've said it on here a bunch of times, like how they want to keep us scared and consuming. And like I've known this and I've said it on here in numerous conversations, like that 2% wants to keep us scared and consuming because then that's what they want from everybody. Then we're sheeple and stuff like that. And I just recently, I realized that how scared and consuming I am.
Yeah.
And I was kind of ashamed of myself.
Yeah.
I was like, dang.
I know you really need to work on that.
I can tell by your face.
No, but if you think about it, bro, like look at even the cars, like back in the 70s and 60s, they were designed not to break.
Yeah.
But every vehicle you drive now is designed to break.
Yeah.
Why? And because it keeps you in that cycle.
Designed to break, and also like then they sell it as, oh, these are the safe, more safer cars than before, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because these are absorb the impact and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So that's why they break when an impact and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I seen one on fashion and clothes. And those are they're not made that good, but they put these brand names and they say, oh, they're made in this place and that place by this person, that person.
Yeah.
And so people just buy them up, boom, 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 boom. And they're so cheap that you can only wear them a little bit, you know, they start falling apart. So then you either, oh, and then they go out of fashion too.
Oh, yeah.
So the next year they're going to have a whole different line of stuff, whole different bunch of shirts or whatever. So then you got to, you'll get rid of your old stuff, get some new stuff, and that stuff has to go somewhere. And what they do is they give it back to Africa, these countries in Africa.
Okay.
And they make them take it. Like, if those countries don't accept it, like these huge cargo ships of
clothes?
Clothes, yeah, and they were in bales.
Yeah.
They look like hay bales. They're about that big.
Huh.
They give them back, and if they don't take them, then they get sanctioned, or they get, like, money withheld, or they get, you know, basically Europe and America bully those African countries to take all that surplus clothes. They don't, I mean, there's only so many clothes you can use, right? Like, even in a poor country. So they end up getting stuck with it. But that all that stuff has to go somewhere. And the thing with that is, too, like, cars, phones, clothes, no matter what you purchase, if it comes from somewhere else, like it was made in another country, and most stuff is, somewhere in that supply chain, somewhere in that, from the time that that thing was created to the time it gets to you, there are millions of people being exploited.
Oh.
Millions of people being, you know, they're not getting paid for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're wearing these designer clothes. Well, not we, but, you know, like they're wearing designer clothes and stuff. And without really saying, you know, where they come from. Kind of like diamonds. The only diamonds, there's a shit ton of diamonds in the world. The only reason why they're considered rare and expensive is because a certain number of people have control over the supply.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they tell you that they're expensive. They tell you that you have to have it. They tell you that they're extravagant. So we believe that shit. Like, oh, man, diamonds are rare. Diamonds are expensive. And diamonds are just a rock.
Yeah, even gold.
Like have you ever seen a diamond before it was cut? It just looks like a rock.
Yeah, it's just like a crystal that you'll find.
Yeah. And there's all, and now they got lab grown diamonds, and you can't tell the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can. Some people can, I guess.
No, I got. I followed this one guy. He takes like on Instagram, and he takes like broken beer bottles, like the bottom part that's thick, and then he kind of files them down, makes them look like precious jewels and puts them on jewelry, and they look like rubies and diamonds and stuff.
And they're just glass.
It's just glass.
Yeah.
And I was just like, after watching a few of his videos, I was like, man, who's to say like what I'm buying, what we're buying here at the, you know, jewelry stores isn't just that.
It could be.
Bottle.
So there, yeah, no, I saw some, you know, some of the high-end jewelry that was being sold for a certain price, and some person in another country, like, is an expert on that, But he had the same thing, and he was selling it at a regular price that people could afford. And the stuff that he had was a lot more pure than what the other people were peddling. But it even goes back to the point of, like, you know, based off of materialism and things that really don't matter.
Yeah.
Even glasses that, you know, like some of them are real expensive, like the frames.
Yeah.
But, and some of them are cheap, right?
Yeah.
But they're all made in the same place with the same materials by the same people. But they give you that illusion of choice.
Yeah. No, I seen this one reel recently, or probably a few months now. This guy took, like, Payless shoe stores, like, their shoes. And then, like, he, like, rented a spot in the mall, fixed it up all fancy and stuff, put all these Payless shoes inside there, called it something designer or whatever, and then had a grand opening. And, like, all these affluent people came in dressed all nice, and they're buying his shoes for, like, $1,000, $900, $500. They're just Payless shoes. And he had this grand opening, and then, like, he said, all right, everybody make your selections. We're going to have a checkout now, blah, blah, blah. And at the checkout, then he just stood up and announced. He said, everything you guys got is from Payless. This is, and, like, they were all down to buy it. They're all ready to pay the $1,000 for.
Did you see the bracelet that Balenciaga just released? Dog, it's like scotch, not scotch tape, but clear tape, and it just has Balenciaga in it. Like, just
it's like real, just clear
tape? Logo, and it's clear tape, and it's sold as a freaking bracelet. Dog, and it's like 4 G's or something, man. Maybe higher.
Dang.
Let's look at it.
That's crazy.
But yeah, that's and you're and we're suckers for it too. Like, oh man, I gotta have that.
Yeah, I know.
I gotta have that.
And what made me start thinking this way is because, like, I've been, like, putting in these bids for, like, Jordans and stuff and Kobe's and stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't win. I rarely win these bids. But when I do, I get all happy. I'm like, yeah. And then, like, the last bid I won, these Jordans have been sitting in a box for, like, a month. By my front door. They're just sitting there.
And they start to turn yellow. They oxidize. No, the Jordans and stuff.
Oh, yeah, after a long,
like,
time.
Like, if they sit in a box and they don't get
worn or used.
Yeah, they fall apart.
Yeah.
Well, remember when I got those little baby shoes
from
Walmart, and I painted them, and then they turned into they were badass after that.
44,000 a freaking roll of tape, clear tape. Sold by Balenciaga as a bracelet, bro. They unrolled it at the Paris Fashion Show this past fall and winter.
Mimicking a roll of tape?
Yep.
Man, I should get one of those.
44K. That's more than some people make in a year.
Man, for real. 44K. Dang.
Just make some knockoffs.
All right, don't worry.
Go get some at freaking Walmart and sell them.
Yeah.
My
daughter, similar to Balenciaga.
Similar, yeah. My daughter,
half the price.
My daughter made this rubber band bracelet for probably about 5 cents.
Yeah.
I wear that.
That's priceless.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, this is what I wear.
Yeah, my daughter wears those. Remember, like, the when you used to go swimming and stuff, the bracelet?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's, like, the cool thing now with these kids is, like, they wear them as long as they can. You were saying that, too, previously, weren't you?
Yeah, my son right there has his on from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, a status symbol.
Yeah.
He's, like, telling all his homies that he's been to Great Wolf Lodge.
Like, if you go to Sneak a Peek and they give you a wristband.
Oh, yeah, then you wear it to school for the next month.
It's crazy.
I wear my hospital ones.
With your diagnosis on there. All right, man. You guys feeling? Hey, man. Yeah, you guys feeling warmed up?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do this then. So, DJ, if you're ready, why don't you hit me with that beat?
Yo, let's get into our topic. Yo, let's get into our topic.
All right. We're here in episode 181. And to my left, you got the pod, Gotti, the Randy V. I forgot to do introductions, and I just now realized.
I know.
He ain't even trying to preach, yo. And over here to my right, we got your favorite Indian, Jonathan C. Beaumont. Your favorite Indian, your whole ace in one. You got me from all the way from up the road in Arrow Creek, Josiah Hugs, not drugs. And tonight we're going to jump into an article from our favorite website, Psychology Today. It's called Self-Sabotage, three Surprising Solutions for Overthinking. Quick practical solutions for people who self-sabotage by overthinking, posted on July 10th, 2023. Alice Boyce, PhD, but it says reviewed by Monica Vilhar.
Yeah.
I think that's what it said. Vilhar? Vilhar.
Vilhar.
So yeah, I'll just jump right in here. It says, if you think in depth, you probably find that tendency to overthink is both a strength and a weakness. You may desire to retain the benefits of thoughtfulness while eliminating the self-defeating aspect of overthinking. Attempt one of these techniques to achieve that. Choose whichever strategy naturally appeals to you. So I'll read this first one and then we'll talk about it. Execute once, then optimize. Try taking this approach whenever you are doing anything for the first time. Don't try to optimize it. Instead, adopt the approach that will execute once with basic thinking, then optimize your approach the second and subsequent times you do whatever. For example, I recently decided to buy, was that choline?
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 I don't know.
Choline.
Yeah, choline.
Choline. Choline supplement. I got bogged down in factors like which brand to buy, which dose from which form, where to buy it from, and when. By employing the execute once approach, I selected an acceptable option, aware that I could obsess about the best choice during my next purchase. The benefits: you make quicker decisions and probably learn more through your experience than from delaying. So very similar thing. I wanted to start trying CMOS because I've been reading these things and watching these videos, reviews on it. Seems to be very healthy for you. And I was like that. I started getting caught up in, like, because they're like, don't do this brand. They're not organic. They're like farm CMOS. And then I started diving into the world of CMOS. Then like these different companies were talking shit about each other about CMOS and which one's the best form to take it in. And I was just like, after about an hour of reading articles, I was like, damn, I don't even know if I want to take CMOS anymore.
It's crazy. That was Dr. Sebi was the one that reintroduced that to the world, right?
Yeah.
And he was killed.
Oh, was he killed?
That's what they say. Like, there is a whole conspiracy around him because he saw the benefits. Oh, I didn't get
that far into it. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, the benefits of CMOS, like, he lived it. He freaking, like, he was
healthy. He the one that would drop down to his knees and he was, like, 80 years old?
Yeah,
and
bro.
And then just get up real quick?
Yeah, he's a black guy.
Yeah.
And then the circumstances surrounding his death are, a lot of people question it, kind of talking about, like, conspiracy theories and stuff.
Dang, I'm
but that's where the popularity came from.
Yeah.
You know? Because he was, that's what he was pushing.
Yeah, I know. And then the more I seen videos on him, and I watched his videos, and I read his articles. I didn't know he died. I don't know. I mean, I didn't know they killed him.
Yeah, Dr. Sebi.
Yeah. His videos, man. He was like 81, and he'd be giving presentations, and he'd just like fall to his knees, like boom, and then just pop right back up.
Yeah, like youthful, right?
Yeah, very youthful. And I was like, dang, man, that's what I want. So anyway, like, so without reading this article, I just said, all right, I'm just going to pick one. And that's what I did. I just picked it, tried it out. I'm taking it now. Almost out. I think I only got like one more day. I should have like last week ordered the same one or ordered more. Now I'm going to go like another week or so without any. But as far as you guys go, like, could you see yourself like either like obsessing over the details, or are you more of like a just make a decision and then optimize later and see how it goes?
I'm an overthinker. I like to analyze everything. I think, like, for me, like, and it says it in here, like, one of your strengths, but then also one of your weaknesses is kind of like thinking too much of a situation.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like also like some of the people that I work with, they're pretty like one of their strengths is like making a choice and then running with that choice. And I think like for me, like once I make that decision, then I'm like, okay, like now I know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. But the hard part for me is to make the actual decision because I'm thinking of all angles.
Mm.
Not me. I just make a decision, go. Bro, man, I do that with everything. Like if we're, okay, so using his example, like the one that's in here, like for shopping, like especially on Amazon or online or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, I'll go down that rabbit hole for days.
Yeah.
Before I ever make a choice.
Yep.
Like, I'll look at, you know, all the different options, and then I'll start, like, okay, so I was looking for some headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I looked at all the reviews, and I looked at all the brands, and I looked at all the specs, and I looked at all, okay, what's this one, that one do, this one, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
All the prices. Shoot, I ended up going to like Target and get some over there.
Yeah, just going buying some Sonys or something.
Yeah, well, I got the JBL and those are good.
Yeah,
JBL's a good brand.
But I mean, man, like I for like 3 or 4 days I sat there. But then that's with everything. I mean,
what kind of headphones are there?
They're over ear.
Oh, okay.
So for that,
your mixer thingy.
Mixer thingy, yeah.
Okay.
But I sat there and I just obsessed over it.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, looking at the reviews, and then I'll come across an article that says, don't ever trust reviews because some of them are planted or blah, 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 blah. And then the shit, then that takes my mind to a whole different, like,
yeah.
But that's how everything is. You would not believe how that, like, dude, I'll be sitting there and I'm like, man, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Where shall I go eat? And then I'll sit there and think about it for an hour and a half, just being hungry.
Dang.
And not ever making a decision. Like, oh, I could go over here, but then I don't want to drive over there. But then if I go over here, they have this stuff. But then, oh, this place is probably cheaper and blah, 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 blah. Like, just go like that. And then pretty soon I'll get up and eat a bowl of cereal. Man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I suffer at the end because all I got was a bowl of Cheerios when I could have went and got a pizza or something.
Yeah.
Get up and go eat. Fuck.
So how would you, like, for yourself, like, how could you see yourself, like, implementing this? Could you, like, tonight for dinner? Did you have dinner?
Yeah. But, okay, so if I was going to implement that for tonight, I would say, okay, this is closest.
Okay.
Or sometimes I'll, like, okay, I'll be watching TV,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be like, okay, first food commercial I see. Or first, you know, like if I even see somebody eating like a sandwich.
Yeah.
Or a hamburger or a pizza or a Chinese, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
On a movie even. The first kind of food that I see, I'm going to go for that. That's how I would do it.
Oh, okay.
Because then that way, I mean, like, okay, I told myself I was going to do it, so that's what I'm going to do.
So, like, if you've seen you made your mind up, right, first food I see, and you've seen, like, the commercial was Uncrustables, would you drive over to the grocery store and buy Uncrustables? Or would it have to be, like, a restaurant?
Well, it would just have to be some, I don't know, like, Uncrustables are not very filling. I can eat the whole box.
Really?
Yeah.
PB&J is supposed to be filling, isn't it?
I don't know.
I've not only, not Uncrustables, though. And the fact that they're frozen.
And I just don't like the thought of buying Uncrustables because it's like, dog, you could buy a loaf of bread, jam, and jelly. Well,
see that? Okay.
Then I mean, you know.
You can do that. I would do that, probably.
Okay.
Okay, if that was the choice that I was, okay, PB&J, I'll just go get a loaf of bread and
yeah, it just don't make sense to me, like, to spend that money.
But I already have PB&J fixings.
And then are you, yeah, like me, so, like, I go buy groceries and then I'll eat out.
Yeah.
Well, see, yeah.
You know.
We do that. I do that, too.
See, this is how it works. See, if I saw the Uncrustables things, I would say, well, I already got PB&J stuff that I can make.
So you pass on that?
So I pass on that.
Okay.
Oh.
So, like, if you've seen fish sticks, would you go, like, to Red Lobster? And even though it wasn't a Red Lobster.
I probably, if I saw fish sticks, the first place I would think of is Red Robin. Oh, they got fish and chips over there. It's freaking hella good.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Man, every time I go to Red Robin, it has to be a burger. I can't get anything else.
Well, I didn't even know they had fish and chips till I went with my dad. And he's like, yeah, I want their fish and chips. It's good. And I'm, when I had the burger at the time.
Yeah.
But I saw his plate, and I'm like, Dan, next time I come back, I'm going to get that. Yeah. And it's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Was it Lent?
I don't think so.
What about Crazy Mary's?
Where's Crazy
Mary's? Fish and chips. She's over there by, I think, on, you know that, how would I explain it? How you come in from the Heights on Metro? Remember Metro, how you come in on the Heights? That, yeah. What is that, 6th Avenue?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's on like 13th.
Oh, okay.
She's right there. She used to be across the street, but they bought that building, remember?
Oh, and they tore it down?
And she had to move to the other side. No, okay. I think they started construction over there, on it.
Underneath the ridge?
Yeah, they started construction on it, and then they ended up not pulling through with that. Oh. So she was across the street in a, food trailer.
It used to be a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, it used to be Mamacita's, the old Mamacita's.
Are they still around?
I don't know. But, man, you guys got to try her fish, bro. Like,
what kind of fish is it?
I don't know. Oh, but she gets it flown in every day.
Nice. That makes me good. Well, what about you?
And it's about $11, man. It's nice, hey, for a freaking.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be satisfied, dog.
Is that a fat joke? Just kidding. No, what about you? Like, are you more of like a optimized or like, are you already sit down? Like, you obsessed?
Yeah, no, I.
Like, today, how could you use that today?
Like, today, okay, so I'm, you know, it's towards the end of the semester and I was gearing up for my finals. And I had a couple choices and I couldn't make the decision on which one I wanted to go with.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like, and then I just start obsessing over things. I'm like, well, if I present it like this, if I do this and I don't make a decision, but then like, I made a decision, and I'm like, man, you know what? This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But once I make that decision, like, the process is so much smoother. It's just hard to make that decision because I'm a thinker.
Yeah.
I have to analyze every angle. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's almost like playing chess, bro. And I don't know.
Yeah. No, I get it. Like, when I first read this, it made me think of, like, when I was a kid and I had $10. And, like, I specifically, like, kind of saved that $10 to go buy a toy, like, at KB's toy store in the mall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I would be in there for, like, an hour.
Looking at everything.
Everything. And I'd, like, be over here looking at the Hot Wheels. I'd be like, oh, man, I could buy, like, 5 of these. And I'd look over and there'd be G.I. Joe's. And I'd be like, oh, man, I could buy, like, 2 of these. I could buy this guy in his car. And I look over and I'm like Ninja Turtles. And then, man, I just go down every single aisle doing that. Boom, boom, boom. And then, like, my folks were like, all right, well, you're making a decision. We're going to go across the way. Remember, like, Aladdin's Castle? And then they used to have that little kind of eatery.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They would sit there and they would wait for me. And I would just be in there for, like, an hour or more.
Looking at everything?
Looking at everything, not willing to make a decision. And then finally, like, picking something, finally just like just picking something
that you really didn't want.
And then I get home and I'm like, man, I didn't really want this.
I feel it, bro.
That's exactly what I mean. I still do that.
Yeah.
Not with toys, but you know.
Yeah. So that, like now, I mean, after I read this, I was like, dang. But I've gotten better at it. You know, I was like, so like tonight, you know, like today's my day to eat fast food. So I know that. So I'm like, okay, I got my choices here. I just pick one. Boom, go get it. Boom, get down here. I won't obsess over it like this guy, like JC over here. But there's other things, like when it comes to like clothing or shoes. Like, man, I obsess. I like fill up a cart. Like, I like all these stuff. You know, fill up a cart, like a online on the website. Go in the cart, look at it. I said, man, maybe I should get 2 of these. Boom, boom, boom. And then like I'll just be obsessing over that cart for like a half hour, and then I'll just close down the whole website.
Yeah, I do that.
And then go look at another website with clothes or shoes, fill up a cart there. And I'm like, oh, man, I should just go back and buy that first one and go back to that one, and I'm just back and forth with the carts. And usually what happens is I don't even buy anything.
Yeah, no, I can identify with that, like not being satisfied with the purchase.
No.
Not being satisfied with, you know, and the way that I take that is like an assignment, two assignments ago that I was supposed to do, I went with Alcatraz Island, and it was something that I didn't even want to do. It was just like a, because as part of a group, we're talking about San Francisco.
Yeah.
And then I got stuck in there because our freaking teacher was like, oh, that this would be like whatever.
Yeah.
And the whole time, like I'm doing the assignment, I'm like, dog, I don't even want to do this. You know what I mean? Like I just knew that I didn't want to do it. But then it was like, all right, well, it was the easy choice.
Yeah.
So like I find that there's a lot of things where I have to make a decision like that. And then I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't execute the way I want to.
Yeah.
And then because I overthink the process.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, everybody thinks I'm going to do this anyway. When really deep down, it was like, I don't even want to effing do this stuff.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I got a good score on it. But at the end of the day, it was like, I just do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that was a good analysis of that. So moving forward, I say we all just kind of commit to like making a quicker decision, and then we can obsess over it later and make a better decision the second time around.
Yeah.
You know, real quick, one thing that I have done several times lately is I'll ask my coworkers, like, I don't know what to eat tonight. What are you having? Oh, we're having this, or we're going to make this. Or
hot dogs.
You know.
Yeah.
So
then without the bun.
But that triggers stuff in my mind, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, and then but then there's this, and then I'm hopeless.
Better just drink protein shakes. But then there's all kinds of protein shakes too.
I've done that before too. Like, oh man, I don't know what to get in the store during lunchtime. I'm just gonna grab a protein shake.
Did you obsess over which brand and stuff then after that? No.
Yep. Yeah.
That's tough,
man. All right. Two. Put your thoughts in a suitcase. Anxiety tries to be helpful by not allowing us to forget our potential threats. It nags us by knock, knock, knocking to remind us of our worries and insecurities. For example, filling out a child development questionnaire on my baby's milestone was stressing me out. I wanted to tell the pediatrician I didn't want to do them, but was worried she would think I was being neglectful. In reality, I'm hypervigilant about milestones. I didn't need the questionnaire to make me even more so. If you try to stop having a thought, anxiety tends to just get louder. However, what can sometimes work is imagining putting the thought inside, aside somewhere safe where you won't forget about it. The imagine, imagery I like is to imagine putting my worries in a suitcase and then carrying it but not interacting with it. This technique can create sufficient psychological distance from thoughts, enabling me to make more skillful choices in my actions. In this case, there was no reason to expect a pediatrician who has always been supportive would think I was being neglectful. And in fact, she reacted supportively again when I broached this topic. This is something that I've never done, but it was very intriguing to me. Like, okay. Because usually, like, those crazy anxiety thoughts come when I lay down. And I think we've all expressed that, too. Like, boom, man, they just come in 100 miles an hour and boom, before you know, your brain, your mind's taking off thinking about all this stuff and you're trying to sleep. So what I've done more recently in this past year, calendar year, was that I started, like, just thanking God for whatever, everything, from my pillow to my undies to my job to the house, you know, for whatever. I just start thanking God, and that usually takes my mind out of that fast-paced thinking, anxiety thinking, and then I can fall asleep quicker. But this, I really like this, like just taking, like, okay, yeah, those are, like, real anxieties. Those are real threats, real things that I could dwell on. I'm just going to put them over here in this suitcase in my mind, shelve it, and I'll pick it up later. To me, that's kind of like, all right, yeah, that's a good one.
You know what got me in the middle of an anxiety this past weekend? So some friends of mine were at the powwow.
Uh-huh.
And I greeted them at their seat or whatever.
Yeah.
But later on, when I was going from one place to another, I ran into them kind of in that market area.
Yeah.
And then you know how, like, it's awkward. You, like, don't know. Like, there's you're passing, but you know them. You know who they are. Like,
yeah.
So, it's like, it's only, like, for me, it's like, it's only right to say something, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing that came to mind was like, oh, you guys checking out the blankets? Because that's all my mind was associating with that side of the gym.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, at the end of the aisle, there was blankets and coats. So I'm like, oh, you guys checking out the blankets? And then they were like, what? Like, looked at me all weird, and I'm like, oh, no, I was just asking you guys for checking out the blankets. And then it was like, and then they left. They all walked past me, and then I'm like, man, that was so dumb. And then it started, like, man, it went down this rabbit trail, bro, and I'm like, what the hell? And then, man, like, for 2-3 days, I thought about it, bro. Like, how could I be so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just started questioning myself, every negative thing, and then really is like, you know, why am I even obsessing over this stuff? But almost threw myself into, like, a freaking, like, an anxiety attack over a freaking blanket.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
A blanket comment.
Yeah, a blanket comment, because it was like, man, that was the first thing that came to my mind, and I'm like, man, Randy, you don't, you know? Like, there's nothing wrong with. But it was just, I don't know. I think I associated, the reason why I thought about that, though, was, like, there were people putting blankets down.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's, like, a vendor selling blankets.
Yeah, and then I'm like, man, I don't know why that was the first thing that came to my mind. It was, like, one of those awkward passing moments when you're, like,
man, I think that just comes with age when we say those weird things like that more frequently.
Yeah.
Like, this weird stuff like that. Then you're like, oh, why did I say that?
That's weird. Like, you know what I mean? Now they're going to think I'm a weirdo.
Yeah. No, something similar. Like, okay, so I was sitting outside at a Y waiting for my son to come out. And I see one of my friends and his lady. They were going to cross the street and they're like coming right at my car. My windows were tinted. I was in our Tahoe and I was just like, I don't know. I just rolled down the window and I was like, just jokingly, I said, don't forget to stretch. And like, they weren't even like, like, they were going to work out. They had their workout clothes on, you know? And that's what I said. I said, don't forget to stretch. And they're, like, looking at traffic and, like, trying to avoid traffic. And they see me, and they're, like, they just kind of gave me a weird look. And they're, like, hey. And they just, like, ran on by. Like, I felt dumb after that. Like,
yeah.
Why did I say that?
I identify with that bad.
I say weird stuff all the time.
I know.
But I don't even care.
I know.
No, but when I said that, I was just kind of like, I felt like later on when I drove away, I was like, ah, that was dumb. But then, like, I didn't like obsess over it. But I was just like,
dog, that was my problem, was obsessing.
I didn't obsess over it or anything. Yeah.
But okay, so like my thing is like, I try to interpret everything too. Like, it doesn't matter, text message, a comment, like somebody cuts you off in traffic, and then I always have to label it good or bad. Right? And I can't just say, oh, well, it just is.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, okay, so why would my coworker say something like that? You know, why would that? Then I'll walk around for like the next hour thinking, did they not like me, or they mad at me? Did I do something to them? Or, you know, just boom, 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 boom. And then just like dominoes, one thought leads to another. And then pretty soon, man, like, are they going to start shooting? Or something, you know what I mean? Like, oh, hey, man. But that, I mean, that's how it works, though. I try to interpret too much shit, right? And then it just, my mind just runs away. And pretty soon, I probably don't even remember what the original thought was. but rather than just accepting things as they are, trying to make sense out of it and label it good or bad, this is bad, this is good. And the other thing, too, is like when he was talking about something that we all mentioned before was at night, where as soon as you my head hits that pillow, boom. But I think that's conditioning. And like, okay, so think of it this way. You follow the same routine every morning. You get up, you get ready, you go to work, you take the same route, you do the same thing every morning, park in basically the same place. And then one day, you don't go to work. Say you got a day off. But at 7:30, when you're normally driving to work, fighting traffic, cussing around, saying, how come this light doesn't change, blah, 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 blah. Like, your brain's going to be like, hey, man, right about now, this is what we're supposed to be doing. So you'll come up with something else to start filling in those
gaps.
Those gaps, yeah. Like,
yuck.
for you know, like, you don't like being stuck. You know, it seems like you hit every red light. And then it kind of frustrates you. So you'll find something else to be frustrated. We're supposed to be frustrated right now. That's what your mind is telling you. Because we're usually driving to work. We're getting frustrated that we're hitting every red light. So now we're going to get frustrated that, you know, you can't crack your egg for your breakfast this morning. You know what I mean? And I think that's what that for me, that's what that late night anxiety kind of runaway mind is. And so that's when I start doing those meditations and I start doing those journals. Like he said, those gratitude lists, something else to kind of switch it up. And even like, I don't even lay on my bed the same way. Like I'll lay diagonally or across the bed just so that so something is slightly different. You know what I mean? So it's not the same as when I'm, you know, trying to sleep. And then,
when you're doing a gratitude list?
Well, you know, I mean, like, what, like right before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Right, like that same routine, because then my brain's going to say, okay, now it's time to start overthinking. Let's start thinking about the past. Let's start, you know, catastrophizing about the future.
Yep.
So, but if I switch it up a little bit, then my brain's like, okay, what are we doing now? Like, is it not that time yet? And then it, you know, it kind of rewires your brain a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But to kind of switch it up, like even if you're driving to work, like sometimes, I mean, most times I'll go the same way, straight down Montana Avenue. But every once in a while, I'll go down Broadwater and then take those like little back roads kind of by Albertsons, Terry Park.
Yeah.
Go that way just to switch it up. And then, like, it, like, I guess it just kind of puts me in a different mindset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I feel it.
So it's that conditioning.
Yeah.
And like, I'm trying to uncondition myself not to overthink or, you know, start, stop those thoughts before they ever even start. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Right on, right on, right on. I appreciate you guys, man. We got one more to go. And yeah, we'll let it go where it's gonna go. So 3, reflect on benefits of both impulsive and well thought out decisions. Remember I said at the outset that overthinking is both a strength and a weakness. People who overthink tend to be very willing to engage in metacognition, that is, thinking about their thinking. You can use that to your advantage here. Try thinking about examples of good decisions you and others have made. What actions have led to awesome outcomes for you and others you know, other people you know. Next, reflect on whether these were always well thought out decisions. In Stress-Free Productivity, I wrote about some of my best decisions weren't very well thought out. For example, I've put less research into house purchase than into my minor decisions, and yet these house purchases have turned out to be some of the best decisions. I also put relatively minimal thought into choosing a PhD advisor, and yet that worked out wonderfully. Sometimes good decisions are the result of an exhaustive research and accurate perceptions, but not always. Other factors like serendipity or meeting the right people, meeting the right person at the right time can be influential too. I'll stop there because I think about I just started thinking about like my decision making up to this point from when I started walking the red road. And whenever I was faced with something difficult, where in the past I would have been like, F it, or, you know, felt like the hard way was the only way, not knowing I had an actual decision. But looking at my decision-making, how I've been doing my decisions these eight and a half years or so, and that's always with, like, it's communal. When it's difficult, a difficult decision, I get other perspectives and I bring them in to the circumstance or whatever that's happening, and then I move forward. Sometimes it's either I was like, okay, they're saying what I was thinking anyway, so I'm just going to go with what I was thinking. Other times it's been like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of it like that, so I'm going to use what they said, my accountability people. I'm going to use what they said. I'm going to move forward with that and totally negate anything I was thinking about it. So, and then sometimes it's a combination of both. So just thinking back on these walking the red road. So I think that for me, that's the formula now. Never to, because I'm highly impulsive too. I got about 5 Jordans that were bought on impulse.
Yeah.
You know, that's roughly about $1,000 worth of money purchases that, right, more, that were all bought on impulse.
Yeah.
You know, I just seen it and boom, bought it. Didn't even think about it. And I was like, man, I didn't need that. But I'm happy I have them.
Yeah.
You know, I've never worn them. I don't know if I will, but I have them. But like more serious things. So knowing that about myself, that I can be impulsive. If I feel like, okay, I want to do this, I better think about this real quick. Or, you know, I better bounce it off Randy. I got to bounce it off JC or any one of my other accountability people, you know? What are you guys' thoughts on that? Just thinking about your thinking.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, it's kind of funny because this morning in the conversation I used it, it's like in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So, like, whenever we're making, like, a major decision, right, like, it's wise, it's wisdom, and then when I think about, like, being impulsive, that's who I was before. Everything was off of impulse. And being impulsive only led me into trouble a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, being impulsive and kind of like that blanket comment, it's like, it really wasn't a big deal, but I made it a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, like, trying to consider what I say before I say something.
Yeah.
And then just learning about myself, like, okay, like, being impulsive, like, it's gotten me into trouble before. Reacting, you know, like, reacting in certain situations, not handling things the best way that I could. But then also here in recovery, it's like, okay, not wanting to make that type of major mistake anymore. So it's like trying to be accountable, like attempting to gain all perspectives before I make a major decision. You know, and then moving forward. And the hard part is making that decision. But once I make that decision, it's kind of like what I said previously on the pod, like, sobriety is not hard. Recovery is not hard. It's making that decision every single day, though. You know, creating that discipline, like, really at the end of the day, it's making that decision, like, man, no matter what, no matter how much life sucks today, or no matter how much I want to celebrate today, I'm not going to use.
Yeah.
You know, that's just that decision. But now, especially, like, I kind of find it, I've never been here before, but I think, like, where I've been is like mapping out the next 10 years of my life and coming to that decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I realized, like, the previous 9, 10 years, I haven't got to where I want to be. So I was like, okay, like this has to happen for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like focusing. And I don't want to say it like from a selfish standpoint, but like, okay, like this is going to be for me, like this is for our future.
Yeah.
And then making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, okay, there's certain things that happened this past 9-10 years where I'm not satisfied.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's always been about, from a, not having as big of a vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking that things were going to be one way. And in reality, it's not. So it's like, okay, like bouncing those things off of people that are willing to hold us accountable, like willing to hold like you guys. And every major decision in my life has to be well thought out, moving strategically.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I feel that the strategic, got to be strategic. Like you said, playing chess.
Yeah, because it's like, there's also a verse in the Bible that says, like, a people without a vision will perish.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to live to be an old man.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, okay, like, this is what has to be done then, these next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, I can definitely relate to being impulsive in the past, but knowing that it, how much trouble that caused, I think what I do now is I overcompensate for that.
Mm.
But I do know that there are a lot of decisions that I've made that were, they were good decisions because of the fact that I maybe did obsess over it a little bit or did do that extra research or did look into it. You know what I mean? But I think what gets me in trouble is basically not making up my mind in the end. Like, I know what it, like, so we talk about those, I was talking about those headphones. Like, I knew what I wanted. I knew what I needed. And I knew, you know, price range and all that stuff. And yet I just kept going, you know, it's almost like maybe I'll find something better on the next search. Maybe I'll find maybe that's my deal. But, you know, at the end of the day, pretty much everything that I was considering were all basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
The same level of product, right?
Just a different brand.
Just different brands, yeah. And maybe kind of similar price points even. But, you know, and then other times too where being impulsive, like, I don't really want to say impulsive, but being able to make a decision, you know, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I've made those kind of good decisions too.
Yeah.
Almost intuitively, like, okay, I know this is what I need to do, or this is what I have to do. This is how I have to play it. And so I can see both sides of that coin, looking back. But really, I as far as overthinking goes, I think I really like that idea of putting things in a box, because I've heard that before. It wasn't a suitcase. This individual said box. Put it in a box, and you can tie it, padlock it, do whatever you need to do, and then put it away for now. So you, and just like the article said too, you can carry it with you, but just don't open it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing that, and then also like going back to that idea of, you know, trying to interpret things. Just small random events.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just not saying it's good or bad. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thing. And then one more thing that I've been trying is that radical acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just to accept. Like, okay, this is what it is right now. This is my circumstance. This is, you know, the way the situation is. And I'm going to be in it.
Yeah.
Like, whatever happens, happens. And because I, like I said before, I told you guys this before, that looking back, I kind of realized that these so-called catastrophic moments in my life, I've always been okay. Like, I've learned from them and I've grown from these things. And carrying, you know, and reminding myself of that part of it is, it helps a lot, because then I'm like, okay, you know what, man, I've been through some shit before and I can get through this shit now.
Exactly. No, I think like, so that falls right in line with this last paragraph I was going to read. It's not the last paragraph, but the last paragraph I wanted to read was saying that sometimes it's enough to recognize that you currently don't overthink every decision, and that can work out fine and even well. You can begin to see yourself as someone who sometimes overthinks, but not always. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true, you know, because, like, for me, I know in my past, especially, like, before I got to recovery, before I got to start walking Red Road, I overthought a lot. I was in my head a lot, to the point where I would give myself anxiety over all, like, the stuff I needed to do. And I get to the point where, like, man, I fuck it. Go get drunk. You know?
Yeah.
And then, like, but I catastrophized everything. Yeah. And there really wasn't nothing to have anxiety over. It was just like, today I do these things daily and I just handle stuff. The things I used to overthink and catastrophize and, like, go drink over, like, I just handle them every day now. It's just like, just common everyday responsibilities. But in my using days, I just blew it out of proportion and go drink over it.
Yeah, and I think that's what we do, is when we look at it under a magnifying glass, it makes it bigger than it really is.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, I think it, you know, I would even go a little bit further on that last paragraph where it says, like, it's important not to be ashamed of overthinking.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being genuine when I say it's both, but acknowledge the benefits of thinking deeply, but also master skills to dial back when it's advantageous. And then just, like, knowing when, I guess.
Mm.
Like, knowing when to think deeply, knowing when it requires our time to think about certain things, but then also knowing when to keep it lighthearted, right? Like, striking up a conversation with somebody.
For sure.
You know, like, it really doesn't have to be on that. Because that's an area that I, you know, like, as an introvert, it's like,
yeah,
how am I going to say that? How am I going to say this? You know, like, yeah. And then, oh, hey, you guys checking out the blankets?
Yeah, like, that piece, it just reminds me, like, I'm, he's like, big gulps, huh? All right, see you later. Like, whenever I make those, like, dumb comments, that's how I just think of, like, Jim Carrey on Dumb and Dumber. Man, I just put a Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
A Lloyd Christmas.
And then the people are like, damn, that was weird. Like, you made a situation awkward by being awkward. It's not on them, it's on you.
Yeah. What did he say to that lady when you're gassing up? Skis, huh?
Yeah, bro. Like,
yeah, that's crazy, though. All right, man. You think we beat that dead horse?
Yeah, I think it just falls down to, like, knowing when to strike and when not to.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, it's just like, in recovery, you know, we're taught, or we're, you know, commissioned to, like, recognize our patterns. And, like, same thing here. When we start to overthink, like, boom, time out. Or hold up. I'm overthinking. I don't need to overthink this. Do I really need to overthink this? Probably not. Okay, I'm going to think about something else. Capturing your thoughts. And that's like, that's kind of how I look at it. Because, like, if I notice I'm starting to act a certain way or think a certain way, and, like, I'm starting to talk to people a certain way, and I'm starting to fall back into my old patterns, then I pull back. And I just kind of, like, okay, boom, I got to reset here. I gotta get to a meeting. I gotta pray. I gotta talk to somebody real quick. So it's probably like the same thing with our overthinking, like just recognizing it and being able to pull back and be like, okay, think about our thinking. Do I really need to overthink this? Probably not. Okay, I'm gonna go get a burger.
Or maybe some tacos. I don't know, man. Tacos. That's pizza sounds good, but hey, they got taco pizza.
Costco's too far though.
Costco is way too far. But if I end up going that way, there's Mike's. Let's see what else is up there. I'll probably just end up stopping at my dad's.
Just go to Taco John's, get some potato Lays. Can't go wrong there.
I don't know, man. Lately, the last couple, because I just had potato Lays and they were not good.
How dare you?
Well, it depends on where you get them.
For me.
Get them at Taco John's.
I know you get them at Taco John's, but which Taco John's? It's like...
That one by Starbucks. Everybody knows this.
But no, what I was going to say is that, you know, this, just like anything else that we do, you know, in recovery, is it's an acquired skill.
Oh, sure.
So, like, you were talking about it earlier. The things that you do on the daily were things that used to stress you out in the past.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's like, okay, you learned the skills of how to deal with that. And it didn't happen overnight. Like, you know, so just like anything else, man, you got to be kind to yourself. You got to, you know, put a little bit of work into it, but
not too kind.
But don't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
I know. Just kidding. Yeah, definitely. Yuck.
Not too kind?
Yeah.
He's got to know when to pull out, you know?
I like to pull back.
Well, I mean, yeah. What did I say?
Hey, man, you do you. You do you.
You do you.
Yeah, you do you. Do you, do you boo boo.
I'm so sorry, man.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Can we erase that?
Yeah. No, thank you guys for entertaining me on that. Yeah, it's getting nicer out. Hopefully it doesn't snow again. It probably will, but I'm really enjoying this. I've been outside the past few evenings with this nice sun, getting in some sun rays. So I was reading this article about how grounding yourself is actually like you're absorbing like electrons from the earth.
Okay.
And then like that changes your whole mood.
Yeah.
And so last night I had my daughter's softball practice and I was wearing flip-flops. And I took those off and I just sat on the ground and I had my feet on the ground, and like for majority of practice, I was just like absorbing electrons.
Yeah.
But when we left there, I was paying attention to my mood, and I was like in a better mood than when we got there.
Nice.
Like I was in a good mood all the way up until I went to bed. And then when I woke up this morning, man, I was like, boom, ready to go, man. I was in a good mood.
Come on.
All day long in a good mood, just like, yeah. And today was like an example of like in the past. Like, today was super busy, man. I was like, boom, 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 all the way until I walked in the doors here. It was like, boom, all day long since I, you know, I left my house at 7:30. From 7:30, so I walked in the doors here at like 4:30. It was like nonstop action, back to back to back to back to back to back. And in the past, that would have freaked me the F out, and like, I would have been pissy and ah. But I was, because I feel like, because I was grounding myself last evening. I just got through the whole day.
Maybe pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. So I was like, okay, I'm going to ground myself again tonight. Or as much as I can from here on out. Just walk around barefoot. Who needs flip-flops?
Mm-hmm.
I knew it would come to this.
Yeah. Because remember, even at the powwow, you're like, you're wearing flip-flops. Something about my flip-flops, and I was like, ah, these boys, were these my youth singers are giving me crap about wearing flip-flops.
You were wearing flip-flops over there?
Yeah.
I didn't even see, bro.
And then this guy said, did you come right from the airport? And I said, yeah, Fred Flintstone style, stopping my car, bare feet, or something. We're laughing around.
That's funny.
Have you ever heard of the Schumann resonance?
Schumann, no.
Okay, so the earth resonates at a certain frequency, and that's what it is. It's like 452, I think, hertz. But you absorb that, and it's supposed to make you feel peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Like we absorb that resonance. We get into that same vibe, as it were.
Yeah. You already know the vibes.
I already know the vibes. But yeah, so I think there's something to that, what he's talking about.
Yeah, now, because they're telling athletes now, like on all these reels, to go ground themselves.
Are they?
To like, for recovery. They're telling them to go outside, take their shoes off, and just stand or walk around in the grass for 5 to 10 minutes for recovery, like after a workout. It's starting to pop up on reels. These trainers are found out about it, and they're pushing it now.
Heck yeah.
It smells like Kool-Aid.
Makes me want to go ground myself.
Oh.
Yeah, you better ground yourself tonight.
Yeah, no, it's been good.
Need you to take off your muck.
I think I've been doing what Mr. Henry was talking about that one day, like laying there in the beginning of each day and speaking well of yourself, you know?
Yeah. No, that's huge too, man. Like,
not even just speaking well of yourself, but thinking like, hey, man, today's going to be my best day.
Hell yeah.
And like even my prayers is like, man, God, I know you can open doors for me that, you know?
Yeah.
And they have been, like, not me personally, but, like, more like, I know you can open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open.
Mm.
And that's just my prayer. Like, every door that I would walk into would be a door that God opens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I think he put it best when he said, woke up this morning, got a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
No, it has been, and it's like, it just... It's peaceful, you know. It was hectic, yeah, but it's good. Oh.
Oh.
Get it off at the end there.
Oh, little big man.
Oh, little big man.
Yeah, no, I think these positive affirmations are really good. I was trying to find one, but yeah, it's too late. But I'll have it ready for next episode. Oh, Karen. Karen, hey, hey, hey. Dia wajishik, hey, hey, Karen. And no, hey, nay.
Karen!
How do you do a lead?
Yeah, no, positive affirmations are great. No, I'm just really excited for the summer. I mean, the light, more sun. Getting outside, that's my goal this year. 2024 is to be outside more.
Mm-hmm.
Not indoors. Maybe we can do an episode on the rims. Just kidding.
No, you know we could if we got those Kaya Toka balls, right? Because that absorbs the sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if...
What kind of balls?
Those the ones that go around your mic.
Oh.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Kaya Toka.
Kaya Toka.
Kaya Hoga.
Yeah. Probably overthink that too though. Me.
Like Choline?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Choline.
Choline supplements. Get your Choline supplements over here.
Stop saying that.
All right, then. Well, I think is that a good place to sign off? You guys good to
yes,
go?
Yes, we're good.
All right, all right, all right. So to all our listeners underneath the firmament, we love you. We appreciate you. And to our unspoken words, disciples, keep spreading unspoken words, gospel, Billy Graham style. Hey.
What about that eclipse?
Oh, yeah. Never heard of her.
These unspoken words I'm trying to get out my head. Plug in the mic and leave nothing unsaid. Now sit back,